You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Go tell Aunt Rhody. Go tell Aunt Rhody. Go tell Aunt Rhody that everybody's dead.
John.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the family, son. That moment scared the shit out of me, even though I had saw it like a million times in all the trailers and marketing for the game. It's just like, oh, God, Hillbilly Man.
I went into this game so dark. I didn't watch any trailers.
Wow.
I never played a demo. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I know we're going to review it, so yeah. I know I'm going to play it. Let's see what this is. Yeah, and cool. It's Outlast HD.
No. Outlast is HD. It's an HD game. Oh, be quiet. We're talking about Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, the latest installment in the very popular horror series developed by Capcom and published by Capcom. Now, I'm just going to say this right here. I'm a lifelong Resident Evil fan. I grew up with the franchise all the way back in the 90s since the PS1. I'm going to say this right now. Having played this game not only once through, but also halfway through a second playthrough at the moment, I think that this is one of the best Resident Evil games that Capcom has done.
Yeah, despite my early joke, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Outside of, I think I said this off mic, but I think it's my second favorite because I haven't dove into the first three very much. I know you don't like three.
I like three. I like Nemesis.
You don't? Oh, okay. The third
movie. It's
the
third
movie you really hate.
No, I actually like the third movie the best. You don't know me at all, John.
Sorry,
you're not welcome to the family.
Does the second movie have Nemesis in it?
Second one has Nemesis in it.
That's what I was confused.
Second, the film we're talking
about.
Yeah, it's the worst movie.
Okay, there we go. That's what I was getting confused on. Second movie has Nemesis, third game.
Yes, but we won't talk about those movies because they are done and they will never happen again. That franchise needs to die. But I'm very... Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, it is a return to form for the franchise. It feels to me, for the most part, like... a great step in the right direction in terms of horror, environmental storytelling, and level design that the Resident Evil franchise desperately needed after 5 and 6, which were fucking garbage. Okay, here we go. Now, for people that don't know, before John can, do his thing, Resident Evil 7... It's very much kind of a separate story from the main games. It takes place where you play as a person named Ethan Winters, who is traveling to a derelict plantation in Louisiana because he received a message from his wife, Mia, who he believed either died or disappeared years ago. And he goes there to investigate what happened to her and to bring her home. And, of course, all types of Resident Evil things happen while he goes to rescue her.
Yeah, I do want to say I don't dislike this game. Mm-hmm. I like this game a lot. I really do. I think the big caveat, and I want to say this up front, is I don't think I like this genre. I think kind of
first-person horror.
I think we hinted at this when I talked Outlast, and I was like, I just didn't. I could recognize what it was doing was really good.
Yeah,
but I can't find enjoyment in being scared and stressed out. But I will say I can find it much more here because it gives me some power within its gameplay.
I mean, Resident Evil has always done that. Where even though I think they did that too much in the later entries, specifically in 5 and 6. But yeah, they do give you a little more power where you're able to fight back against these enemies. And yeah, I like it because even though it's very reminiscent of kind of the early games, it feels fresh by adding that first person's perspective. I think it really benefits the game. It makes things a little more intimate and a little more scary.
Yeah, it's definitely a great evolution of the franchise. No, I wouldn't say revolution because it does keep some of the staples, I think, of the Resident
specifically
Evil.
Specifically Resident Evil 1, like the mansion and kind of how you have to backtrack a lot
like
in certain areas.
Yeah, and it does keep that, the whole one specific location. Some inventory stuff. Tone. I think the tone is really good in this game. And you're right. The whole first-person perspective. And I kind of talked about this off mic, but it's kind of interesting to see whether I want to see if this continues, because I think the Resident Evil franchise has been this thing of trilogies, where the first three are very similar, next three very similar. So
the thing with this is what I, they, for whatever reason, the in trilogies, they feel very similar, but I like the fact that this felt so different. I like the fact that this was so disconnected from everything for the most part, that it's just like, this could have been a reboot for the entire series. Like my whole thing was, it's like, cause I knew Resident Evil 7 was in development. We all knew that, but I would have been so cool had they had revealed Resident Evil 7, but it would have faded away and would have just said Biohazard. Cause that's the subtitle of this game is Biohazard, which of course is the name of Resident Evil in Japan. And of course they reversed it with Biohazard that, 7, that, Resident that, Evil.
Faking, fucking favorite thing in the world.
It's really fun. It's really cool. But kind of
works both ways.
It works both ways. And I always thought Biohazard did work because it's like, yeah, this is like
a virus thing.
Yeah, virus. Yeah, you know.
But I think the reason it's not called Biohazard here is something about some dumb movie, right?
It might have been, it's some type of rights issues and like it's something to do with like naming, like you can't name the specific thing Biohazard. I don't know what the top of my head.
Oh, I thought it was a popular band at the time.
I have no idea. It's something to do with like marketing and some copyright thing. But dude, one thing I actually really wanted to get back to is we kind of hinted at it before was like the environment in Resident Evil 7.
Very much a character.
It is very much a character and where it kind of takes place in several areas where the majority of your spending time is kind of like the mansion type area, very reminiscent of the first Resident Evil. There's some several kind of like smaller buildings scattered around the mansion itself, kind of like a greenhouse area. More of something reminiscent of Saw to a certain extent, which I thought was really interesting and cool. And also the fact that it takes place in a bayou. I can't really think of many games, particularly horror games, that kind of takes place in a swamp-like environment. Like, the only game I can think of most recently that took place in a swamp or the bayou in question was Mafia 3. You know?
I never got hands-on time with that, but I think that one does particularly take place in Louisiana, correct?
But I like the fact that this takes place, because it just adds to the atmosphere of the game.
Yeah, the game does a great job of that. It really sets, it knows where it wants to be, it knows the kind of tone it's trying to set, and it goes all in with it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just have hillbilly characters in a random environment. It's like, no.
We'll get to them in a second.
Yeah, it's, we're going to put them in Louisiana. We're going to, it even builds this backstory, and even the characters that aren't the Bakers, that family, like a cop that you might meet, he even kind of exudes that same sort of Southern mentality. And I think it just adds to it. Cause once you do, you know, explore the grounds of of the mansion a little bit more, you still feel like you're out of your element. Like you're still in their zone, even though you've gotten more breathing room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of going off talking about like zones is that I like the fact that it borrows some Outlast where all these different characters that you encounter, specifically Jack, Marguerite, and Lucas Baker, and Grandma, they all have their certain areas in the game that this is their territory. And every time you enter into that territory, you know that you'll have to deal with them in some capacity, in some way, whether to fight them or to avoid them. I think that's really cool. And I like the fact that they took that from Outlast, which is one of my favorite parts about the Outlast and its DLC. The other thing I like is that I like the fact that you have to backtrack in this game and where they avoid the tedium of something like the previous Resident Evil by changing the environment that you're backtracking to, where certain areas of the house change dramatically in terms of like how certain enemies have now manipulated the environment to their own desires, or how another character has gone into like a previous character's environment and changed it to suit their needs. I think that's really cool, and it fixes the idea that the backtracking isn't as interesting as some people might, you know, that backtracking has a purpose in this game and it works.
Okay.
You disagree.
Yeah, I definitely disagree.
Okay.
But I understand what you're saying and I do like that. I do like that for the 18th time that I have to climb up the stairs of the main house. Hey, there's now black ooze on the wall. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That one time out of the... Okay, two times if you count the first time I went up there. Out of the 20 times that I'm there. That's why I feel like my complaints aren't necessarily with Resident Evil 7. They're more with survival horror and maybe my just distaste, displeasure, or just... it just they rub me the wrong way, I think, sometimes. I don't like to backtrack, especially... And I think we talked about this off mic, where the running speed... is significantly basically a jog. And so
for the purpose of hiding tension.
Yeah, and I understand that, but when there is no tension, because there's certain points in the game where they're in transition modes where you've beaten an enemy, so they're not really in play, but a new enemy has yet to take over. So you are safe to roam. And so in those instances, I just want to go. I just like want to run, and I'm tired of having to backtrack to the same safe house because that has to happen a bunch because you have to micromanage your inventory so many times and to a point where I was just like getting frustrated with the whole backtracking.
I mean, I like the backtrack in this game because once you say you defeat an enemy in these specific territories – and you go back multiple times, whether you're trying to get items, which I love finding like hidden items. The game does a great job of placing certain things in spots you normally wouldn't check. And to kind of, for people who may be, find it annoying, they have specific items that you can take to show you where these items are in the environment, I think is cool. Now, what I like about that you have to backtrack to these places that are, you think are safe is because it gives you kind of a false sense of comfort where it's like, oh, I know that area is safe. I can just go there. I can get back. Oh, there's some chem fluid I can mix with my herb and I can create like a health kit. Perfect. But as you go back there later in the game, it's like, oh fuck, the environment just changed. And I instantly felt like, oh, I'm safe. I know exactly where I'm going. And then of course I get attacked by a monstrous mold creature or something like that. So it worked for me in that case. You know, the other thing I wanted to bring up is that I like the fact that so many the puzzles have been brought back to Resident Evil, specifically
some of that flares.
Yeah, that's back there again. Shadow puzzles, which I think are really fun and cool.
Gotta get those animal pieces.
Yeah. For whatever reason, that's what the house is built. That's on shadow puzzles.
When I saw that, I was like, "This is definitely a Resident Evil game."
Yeah, and of course you had when you have to like find keys to multiple doors, it requires you to go to different parts of like, you know, the houses or whatever, or the grounds in general. And also, they have an entire sequence, which is just a puzzle where you're dealing with one of the other Baker family members and what that character has kind of designed for you. And I
love that sequence.
It does. It's great. And you play it twice, actually. And it's really cool how it changes. And that's kind of one of the things I wanted to bring up with the environmental storytelling was not only like the notes you find in the diaries and you kind of exploring who these characters were at one time or how they suddenly change for whatever reason, is that they also introduced a VHS tapes and where you get to play stuff in the past.
Yeah.
You know, other characters, not when you're not only playing as Ethan, but you're also playing as different characters who have encountered the Bakers over time.
Were these the demos? I can't remember.
One was the demo. The first one you play as is when you go in as that kind of like those ghost hunter guys or alligator, sewer gator guys.
Swamp.
Yeah.
Gators.
Yeah. It's basically, it's a haunted house show. They go and they do a whole, you know, skit like, oh, this is creepy. Yeah. That was the original. That was the kitchen demo.
Those are some of my favorite parts of the game because one, they put you in a new context. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like a reset to where this is one thing I never felt about the game is I never really felt that it got too long in the tooth.
Yeah,
which is very
perfect length.
And I'm trying to think about like why that didn't happen here, but it kind of happened with Outlast. Mm-hmm. And it's because there's plenty of times where they break it up and kind of give you a perspective change, and there it helps reveal more about your environment. And in doing so, like it helps push the story forward, but when you go back through it, as Ethan, as you said, things change.
Yep.
And so it helps recreate the sense of surprise and discomfort because you think for a moment that you really do know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, things change. My favorite was, I think it was the third one, maybe the happy birthday one, which is, and maybe we can kind of talk about how this game takes a lot of influences from things, but it had a very Saw vibe.
It plays a different horror genres, not just zombies or kind of body horror, but yeah.
And so I thought that was very interesting and very smart of Capcom to realize, hey, we aren't the only people who can innovate in horror. Mm-hmm. And we should learn, whether it be from large movie franchises or small scale indie horror games. Like we have something to take from everybody while adding our own Resident Evil flair to it. And I think that is what is the best part about this game, that it is so, it is, you know, the summation of very, very different parts.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it adds those very important ingredients that make you say, this is Capcom. This is Resident Evil.
Right. Yeah. It takes the best parts of the franchise, but also borrowing from other subgenres of horrors. I completely agree with you. I also think that the game has both great jump scares and atmospheric scares. Mm-hmm. I think that's important for a horror game to to have. You know, atmospheric scares are always great, but sometimes I need to get like wake up a little bit. Yeah. And I think it has a nice balance. And the other thing, which I think you mentioned before, is that I think the game is at a perfect length. You really, there's actually an achievement for the game where you can beat this in under 4 hours. But that's if you've already played it multiple times, you can rush through it. But I'd say you probably beat this in 6 to 8 hours. I think it's the perfect length for a horror game. Now, I also have some complaints about the game. Specifically, I think that the story, the main story with Ethan and Mia is a mess. I don't particularly understand so there's one point in the game when you have to basically find a cure for a couple people. Mm-hmm. And it's never explained why that is. Why are these things scattered all around this place? Like, there's no explanation for why these things exist and why I need to get them.
I think it's more like the structure of the story, not necessarily the story. They reveal like part C before they told you part B.
Yeah.
So you don't quite understand why you're doing the thing until you've already done it. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, that's why I had to do it.
It feels like something's missing in regards
yeah,
to that.
But I think it does explain it just after it's not needed.
Not to the point where I don't really particularly care anymore.
Yeah.
The part of the story I liked was learning about the Bakers themselves, about their kind of descent into madness and kind of like the overall mystery surrounding the family and how they were affected by this biohazard, if you will. That was really cool. And then a few of the other things, I think graphically the game is fine. The outside environments can range from looking like really nice to like kind of like murky and brown and green. Doesn't really look that all that good. Inside the house, the houses and like the buildings, I think look really nice, but some of the character models and facial expressions, very rubbery, kind of took me out of it to a certain extent, particularly with a Marguerite Baker. For whatever reason, like you see kind of her face up close at one point in the game. It's like, ooh, it doesn't look too good.
Yeah. I think I might've noted this. She just has a lot more wrinkles going on, a lot more weird definitions with cheekbones
her mouth going on.
I thought it was really weird. It happens too. I do like the transition early on in the game between Mia, like weird possessed Mia, and normal Mia. I do like the I thought that was a good transition.
Mm-hmm.
That worked with the face. I thought that was really good. But it does kind of happen there too when she's full possessed form, and you kind of see a bunch of like they just added too much detail.
You feel really the strings moving the face.
Yeah.
You know,
it's because they added so many lines that the points of inflection are so highlighted.
Yeah. And hair physics as well aren't that great.
Yeah.
It's like, there's just like clumps of hair that are just moving and it's like, don't do that. Two more things I just want to highlight. I think that the way you're able to check your health is very weird, or how damage you take is presented, where you get kind of like this wrist, like just basically this watch type
thing.
It's
an Apple Watch.
It's Apple Watch, thank you. And where you can check like what your vital signs are. It's like, okay, it makes sense. When you check your inventory, you can see how much damage you've taken. But the game has this blood splatter effect that doesn't go away when you're damaged. And I found that kind of distracting and annoying. And there's no options in the menu to turn that off. And I hope over time, because people have complained about it. It's one of the complaints I've consistently seen in reviews, that Capcom will eventually patch that option in where you can turn it off.
It is a really, really weird move. I understand the blood splatter when you get hit.
That's fine.
Normally it disappears in most games. I'm not a huge fan of the way health, like I like the way it is represented, but I think it was a little obtuse. And to how many hits I could take.
Yeah. Well, because it depends on like the kind of monsters you encounter.
Yeah.
Like the damage they give is it varies from time to time. So yeah, I understand that.
I will say there's also, I mentioned about how I think this game does a better job than it's more palatable for me at least, compared to Outlast, because it gives you some power back with the guns. What I think is interesting is it never gives you enough or like too much. There are plenty of times in this game where those black,
the molded,
where I shoot them in the head and maybe I'm just concerned that it's not really taking effect and I can't, sometimes I think it's very tight. It's very tight on the line because sometimes I do feel like the game just makes them really powerful for
There's
no
different
reason.
Levels of the molded. It's hard to tell though when you see
them. Yeah. So I would say like in
tears,
they're the most, outside of the Bakers, they're the enemy.
Yeah.
So there's only two varieties, like the standing, no, three, the standing up one with a big arm, and the crawly one, correct?
Yeah, the pouncer.
And I could never tell really. There's not a much detail or distinguishing between the three.
The damage they can take is inconsistent.
Yeah.
Even if for the same type, like a regular one, it's like I can take one out in 2-3 headshots. The other one takes like 6. It's like, okay, they need to fix that. I agree with you.
And I think it kind of comes into play with that. I do like the UI, the way it's kind of simplified down, yeah, but there's instances in the way the gunplay works, where is maybe as what I was saying in terms of those enemies, the farther along I get in the game, the more powerful they are. Mm-hmm. But I don't really quite understand the differences between some of the guns. There's no real way for me to know which one works better against what.
Right.
And I think just from a gameplay perspective, it's just some, it's obtuse. It doesn't quite, I can't quite understand, is this enemy weaker to this or this? And it, which I will say kind of leads to some experimentation, but
it forces you to do that.
I just kind of get frustrated if I experiment and it's wrong.
I mean, for instance, like the flamethrower is best used against like the insect type enemies that you encounter in the game, the hives and the swarms and the flying bugs. Shotguns,
but it felt useless against the mold.
Exactly. I would always, anytime I encounter a mold, I couldn't get away from. That's the other thing. The game gives you the option. You don't have to fight them. You can avoid.
Usually is what it is.
Yeah. But if you like a shotgun to the head, that's it. But like the pistols, I will say, which there are three different ones. There's also a magnum, which you can potentially earn in the game. And there's also certain weapons you can find. You can repair them by discovering repair kits in the environment. Very hard to find that stuff. Unless you take your little mentats or whatever the hell they are. You
know? Like supplements?
Supplements, yeah, that's right. But yeah, I felt that the pistol combat in particular was very inconsistent. And because I we should talk about like the inventory, because there's one last thing I want to talk about that I think the game didn't need. But so you had problems with the inventory and how it felt too limiting.
Yeah, again, I cannot tell. I'm going to be upfront. I cannot tell whether this is actually a problem with the game or just a me thing where I get really frustrated. I didn't necessarily need unlimited inventory space. But it comes back to the backtracking where I'm ready to keep moving on with the game.
Yeah.
But I have to go and find the nearest safe house because I don't. I have to. Because I need to exchange a shotgun.
Yeah.
I have to put half my stuff up so I can pick up two shotguns for 2 seconds so I can switch them out. And something like that's really annoying to me. There are instances when I'm exploring the environment, moving forward with the story, and then I need to pick up like an important piece to move forward like with the game. Mm-hmm. But it's like, oh, you don't have enough space to carry that. Go return 3 flights down, go down that hallway, take a left. No, you went too far. The first left. And then put all your stuff back, and then you can go up there, get that one piece, and then move forward.
I mean, you do have the option to destroy an enemy in your inventory if you want to make room. That is something that they present to you. But you sacrifice that item.
That's the part I don't like.
Go ahead.
If they had given, instead of discard and you can never get it, if it had been drop, then I think that would have changed the complete thing for me. Mm-hmm. Because having to be so far away from a safe room, and sometimes, cause since I did run away, there's an enemy I would have to deal with again. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want to have to deal with that enemy. I want to go forward, but I don't want to get rid of this item. And then things like key items, like the keys, if the keys did not take up a slot, they were more just an item since you needed it, you just always had. Mm-hmm. Because there are instances where you go through, say, a crow's door in one area, mm-hmm. and the next crow's door you see is actually just like something you come across and it's kind of fun to dig into. Yeah. Well, I used it initially and I was like, okay, I don't need it anymore. So I put it in a safe house. I get to that other one that I kind of want to explore. I can't because I put it up. So I have to go find it again and then have to come back. And it's just those sort of things. I think those could have been cleaned up to where things that are key don't necessarily take up some space.
Yeah, key items. Yeah, I think that I agree with you in regards to that. I think like the main like door keys or certain objects that you need for the plot. Yeah, those shouldn't take up an inventory slot. However, I didn't have too much problem with inventory itself. I mean, there are things in the environment where you can increase your inventory. You can expand.
Is it 2 backpacks? Is what I can.
I think it's 2 or 3 backpacks off the top of my head. But I like the fact that it limits you in the beginning because you're supposed to feel vulnerable. You're supposed to feel like in this environment, I don't know what the hell is going on. I have a pistol. I have some bullets. I have two herbs. I have no chem fluid. What the hell am I going to do? And I have a crazy, hillbilly chasing me with a shovel. It's like, I think the inventory works best in that type of scenario, but I do agree with you. I think had key items not taken up an inventory slot, I think it could have
that probably would have changed it for me.
Yeah, I agree. And if you could have been able to drop enemies or drop items and then go back for them instead of destroying them.
No, yeah, it's a very simple thing. Mm-hmm.
It's just to ratchet up the difficulty. That's what
I don't need to be able to carry everything, mm-hmm. but I want the sacrifices that I make to not necessarily destroy what I do, mm-hmm. I guess, or be so permanent to where it just makes me spend extra time. Yeah. And again, like giving you the opportunity to run away instead of fight means that there are instances that just that instance where I have to go back through a house full of enemies mm-hmm. because I ran away.
Yeah.
And then also don't have too much inventory space left. It's just, I just would get frustrated at points like that.
No, I understand. And the last thing I want to hint on, which kind of annoyed me about the game, is that I think the thing that does not fit is the fact that it has boss battles. I know that's always been a part of the Resident Evil franchise for years. And some of the best boss battles I think on all games have been in Resident Evil, but they just, for whatever reason, they just don't fit in here. The bosses themselves, which are kind of the Baker family mm-hmm. for the most part, specifically Jack and Marguerite, they just feel like bullet sponges. And where you've kind of people you've seen in the trailers of like you fight Jack Baker with a chainsaw, you have a chainsaw duel. It just comes across as really clunky and awkward, and
the movements are weird.
Yeah, the movements are weird and just unnecessarily goofy. Whereas it's like I was afraid of this guy before because he's tracking me around the house, and I can stop him for a little bit before he gets back up and comes after me again. But in this point, I'm just like, oh, you're just kind of a doof, you know? And so that just didn't really, for me, there's only one boss battle, which involves like a giant monster type battle. Cause you always need to fight a giant monster in Resident Evil. That
I love when
me. It was the second to last
boss. I do kind of love when it goes just like full Resident Evil. It's a little funny.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. That specifically that chainsaw battle. And I am actually kind of thinking about the car battle at the beginning.
Oh, car battle was completely over the top. I'm like, I can't believe what I'm doing.
I died the first time. I do kind of think it's interesting. Light spoilers here. If you don't get into the car, eventually Jack gets into the car.
Yeah, he gets in the car.
I don't know what you're supposed to do once he gets
in the car. You have to avoid him. I got into the car, and
the first time I got in the car, I didn't have the key, and I was like,
oh, you're fucked. No, and he says, like, come here, boy.
Yeah, I was like, I'm fucking done. I do love the fact the loading screen's like, how about you look around?
Yeah. Hey, they're giving you a tip.
But yeah, that chainsaw boss battle, the problem with that one, I think, is it really showcases the weaknesses in some of the AI. To where it's just for some reason.
And the combat.
Yeah, and the combat. It doesn't work too close quarters.
Nope.
And all the boss battles, like early on, are very tight quarters.
Very intimate, yeah.
And it just doesn't work mm-hmm. in that sense. And it's just being so close to the enemy for such a prolonged amount of time takes away from the fear. A lot of the fear is you don't know what's going to happen when you get close to them.
Agreed. I wish they had approached their boss battles like Outlast did. With like Dr. Trigger or Chris Walker, and I thought they worked. Or
just thinking about just hearing you say all that, it's giving me anxiety.
Or what's his fucking the guy who wants to castrate you? What's his name?
The doctor?
No, the guy in the DLC.
Oh, dang, Mr. Suit Tie.
Yeah, Mr. Suit Tie. Hello, darling. I forget his name, but he was awesome. He's my favorite character. I just can't remember his name. But yes, he does. But yeah, I mean, overall, despite those issues with it, just kind of going to final thoughts. I think, like I said, I think this is definitely a return to form for Resident Evil. I like the fact that it is a horror franchise again. They succeed when it comes to their environmental storytelling, when it comes to building atmosphere, and just kind of including all different types of horror genres. It's not only a zombie game and about like a virus and body horror, but it also incorporates things from like torture horror or kind of more atmosphere, supernatural type element they may or may not introduce into that, depending on how you look at the game. I think that's really, really cool. And so, yeah, for me, this is by far, I mean, it's early yet, but this is by far my favorite game in 2017. And I'd probably give it 8.5 pulsating spider vaginas.
Jeez.
That was very... You encounter a pulsating spider vagina, and it's like, oh my god.
That was so specific.
Yeah.
So I had a couple more problems.
Okay.
But then you... No. I mean, just then you...
Yeah.
But again, I think I said this when I gave my Outlast final thoughts. It's more I can recognize that those problems are just me. Like, I just don't enjoy certain elements of horror games. I can do that when it's a movie because I'm not the one putting myself through the like torture. But when I'm playing a game and I realize that I'm the one triggering any sort of stress, I'm just like, why am I still playing this? I want to play Enter the Gungeon for the 18th time.
Got it.
And things with the genre as well, just like the inventory system, the backtracking. Again, I recognize that these are staples of Resident Evil, staples of the genre that don't quite gel with my play styles, mm-hmm. my preferred play styles. But I will say this is the best thing of the genre. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what you would want, especially if you are a fan. You will love this game. And I can say that, like, I recognize that. I love the fact that Capcom did something I really didn't think they would be able to do. Admit that others are better than them at certain things. Yep. Admit that people have made headways where they did not. And instead of denying that, they fully embrace it while still keeping some of their weird lore shit, their weird puzzle stuff, you know, hints here and there about its ties to the series.
Yeah.
They didn't – they embraced others while still maintaining their own sensibilities,
mm-hmm.
and like mad respect for that. And I think that's what really made this shine through, is they took the best of an Outlast or a
Amnesia,
something akin to those, something that has gained praise throughout the years. So yeah, I do think this is well worth checking out. Probably the best game of the year so far. Not that there's much competition, but we'll find out with Horizon Zero Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to give this 8 out of 10 bad chainsaw battles.
I was really hoping I was able to keep that chainsaw. Weren't you? After you got that, I was like, oh yeah, it's going to be like Evil Dead. It's like, oh, it's gone.
Yeah, just instantly.
Yeah.
Just be too overpowered.
We would be. We don't want to do that. It wouldn't be scary anymore.
Daddy's coming. We need to go.